You say, I don't believe all this grace thing. I don't believe all this grace thing. You can as well say, I don't believe in Christ. I don't believe in Christ. That's what you mean. Hello? Because here it tells us that Christ is the end of the law. Hey, my God. Come back to this guy. So the first thing has been dealt with now. The law, right? Christ dealt with the law where? On the cross. Let's look at the issue of sin. This is the law, right? We are talking about the weapons of Satan. Satan has two weapons with which he attacks man. He is called the thief. But no thief goes on a mission to steal without weapons. Because you are not afraid of the thief, you are afraid of the weapon he's carrying. Hey, are you here? Are you here? Is it not so? Somebody comes to harass you, to try to rob you. Are you afraid of his face? Eh? What are you afraid of? The gun in his hand, the cutlass he's holding. You give yourself sense and give him the phone. Because you know that if you don't do that, some fingers may go off. Like my mom now, last year, something happened to her. Though she wasn't even dragging with them. These are the kind of thieves that they don't ask you, give me. They take it by force. As they come, they cut your hand. The bag falls off and they carry your bag. That's how they steal. They don't say, give me your bag. Then you are trying to argue with them. Mm-mm. They damage you. Then take the thing they are looking for. No thief goes around to steal without weapon because he will be caught red hand. As in, they will catch him even before he starts the robbing. When you want to go on a mission to steal, you have to carry your weapons. Now, this is the thief. He has two weapons, the law. And we have shown you that Christ disarmed this guy, right? How did he disarm him? On the cross. The first thing Christ took away from this guy is the law. He has one weapon left. Let's remove the second one. Are you with me? Can we go on? Can we go on? 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. Hey, my God. The law was dealt with. Sin was dealt with on the cross. 1 Peter 2, 24. You can read for me when you are there. Yes? He carried our sins in his body. On where? Where did he do that? Hey, are you here? People of God, are you here? You know, we had an agreement. If you don't respond, the mic, Sister Blessing, in fact, it's time for our agreement to start. People are not responding again, so come and preach the remaining. Preach 10 minutes out of a message and we'll know the next person to preach. Please, if you don't respond, we'll preach the message together. I'm not obligated to preach this thing to the end. Am I? Is there a law that says I must finish this message? Eh? In fact, by the way, that law, we have already disarmed this guy, number one. So I'm not under any pressure to finish the message. God bless you. Come and continue. Let me sit down. Men of God and women of God are sitting down here and join the confederation. See, you better respond. Amen.
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 Are you here? Are you following me? Are you seeing what we are saying? You are seeing it. Number two, the sin. Who himself bore our sins in his own body on what? Of course, the three there talks about the cross. On the cross, that we having died to sin, say I have died to sin. Yeah. When you go to the mountain, you are asking God, kill me, Lord. Kill me, Lord. Kill me, Lord. Let me die, Lord. What are you doing? God will be able to say, are you asking me to do what I've already done? You are telling God to do what he has done already. I have died to sin. Somebody, read this verse. Open Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 for me. Come on. You have already died. You are not about to die. It is not your prayer on that mountain that will kill you. I know why you are fasting for 7 days so that you can kill the flesh. But the flesh has been nailed to the cross. Colossians 3. Verse 1. Somebody should read for me. You can leave it. Okay. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ. Go to the next verse. Go to the next verse. For you did what? You did what? You did what? You are going to die. You will go to the mountain to pray so that you will die. You will fast for 7 days and 7 nights so that you will die. For you have what? You must pay attention to the tenses of the New Testament. If it says you have died, then you have died. You don't need to pray again to die. You have died. Reckon yourself. What you do in the New Testament is to acknowledge, is to reckon that you have died. Not to ask God to kill you now. You have died and your life is hidden where? Your life is hidden where? In. That's where you are now. So let's go back to where we were. We've been dead to sin. That we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness. By whose stripes you were what? You were what? So, we are looking at now. Where did Christ take care of sin? Where did Christ disarm this guy? This second weapon, where did it happen? On the cross, right? On the tree. Who his own self bore our sin, his own body. On the what? On the what? Or on the cross. So, when Christ died on the cross, he dealt with sin. He bore our sins in his own body. He didn't die for his own sin, because by the way, he was sinless. When he was dying on the cross, he was dying for our sins. He says, when the Son of Man is lifted up, he will draw all men. Not all men, but he says he will draw all unto himself. What he was talking about is that he will draw all the condemnation. He will draw all the sins unto himself. Before that time, he says that when the Spirit of Truth is come, what will he do? He will convict the world of sin. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Hello. So when he says, when you look at that verse, the word man is not there. It's in italics. He says he will draw all unto himself. Talking about the judgment that was supposed to come upon man. Are you hearing me? So when Christ died on the cross, he drew our sin to himself. He died for our sin. He bore our sin in his own body. On the tree. He who knew no sin was made sin. Where did it happen? On the cross. Are you with me? Are you with me? Scriptures that you know, but we're just showing some things from there. Romans 4:25. My God. Romans chapter 4, verse 25. 25. Who was delivered up because of our what? Because of our what? They are not responding again. Because of our what? And raised because of our what? So why was Christ delivered up? For our sins. King James says he was delivered up for our sins. He was delivered up for our offenses. So I have a question for you. Did Christ die on the cross? Because what it means by he was delivered up means that he was crucified. Did he die on the cross? Do you believe that Christ died on the cross? My second question is this. Why did he die on the cross? For my sins. So if Christ already died on the cross of my sin, will God still punish me for sin? If Christ died on the cross for your sin, is God still going to punish you for sin? In our last meeting, we looked at how that he drank the whole cup of God's wrath and gave us the cup of blessing. Did you remember that? You have forgotten? Christ, when he says, I taste, and they gave him that sour drink, that was symbolic. That was a type of the wrath of God. He drank it, all of it, and then he gave us the cup of blessing. Hello? So on the cross, he drew all our sin to his body, and then he bore it on the cross while he died. Romans 10, he was delivered up because of our offenses. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3. I passed on to you that which I also received. And this thing is as of first importance, that Christ did what? Died for our sins. According to what? According to what? So why did Christ die? We can put it on the screen. I want people to see it. Moreover, for I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for what? People, can you respond? Christ died for what? According to what? According to what? So why did Christ die on the cross? So blessing. If Christ already died on the cross for my sin, will God still punish me for sin? By the way, he was raised up for my justification. His resurrection justified me. If Christ died and didn't resurrect, then I am yet in my sin and my faith is in vain. Are you hearing me? Yes, he says if Christ did not raise from the dead, then your faith is in vain, you are yet in your sin. But because Christ has been raised from the dead, I am justified from every sin for which the law of Moses could not justify me. I have been justified. So you don't have a right to condemn me for sin. Are you hearing me? Because God has justified me. By the way, what does justification mean? It means discharged and acquitted. When they say you are justified, it means that you have been discharged, you have been acquitted. You have been declared not guilty. It's as though you didn't even commit the sin. Hello? Are you here? So, how many scriptures did we look at now? Three scriptures, right? 1 Peter 2:24, Romans chapter 4, verse 25, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, a matter is established. So, on the cross, the cross of Jesus Christ is the turning point of history. This is the cross changed everything. You must come to the place where you appreciate the work of the cross. Hearing me? You must appreciate it. You must preach it. You must sing it. You must meditate it. You need to keep thinking about the cross. It changed everything for us. If not for the cross. If not for the cross, brother. But when Christ came to this place, on this cross, when he died on that cross, he snatched sin from this guy. This arm. Okay, this Jesus was supposed to do this snatching. So, Jesus, do your work. So, now notice that he didn't go to hell to do this. Notice he didn't go to hell to do this. He did it right on the cross. Hey, are you with me? Where did he do it? Right there on the cross. Did you ever read anywhere that he says that Christ went to hell to beat Satan up? Hey, answer me. Christ went to hell to beat Satan up. So where did you get that theology from? I'm matrix too. All of the scriptures, about six of them that we just read, shows you that he did it on the tree. Shows you that he did it on the cross. Christ didn't go to hellfire. When he died, they buried him in the grave. And he was there for 3 days. Resting, even observe the Sabbath in the grave. Are you hearing me? And on the third day, he was raised from the dead. Because there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor understanding in the grave without thou goest. You don't walk in the grave. So where did he go to give uppercut, punching Satan here and there? This guy messed up Satan on the cross. It was on the cross that Satan was disarmed. So Jesus, you may now go and leave this guy for me, because I have to finish him here. So now, this is the thief. Hello. This is the thief, right? So Fred, come. And this is the believer in Christ. He writes so much about the believer in Christ. All his posts are about the believer in Christ. So let's use him as the believer in Christ. He's wearing black. Satan says he's wearing black. That means we are looking alike. But that is his ministry. He's the accuser of our brethren. But guess what? They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the words of their testimonies. He says the accuser of our brethren has been cast down. Are you hearing me? Can never accuse. He said he accused us before our God day and night. This guy is dangerous. Every morning, every night, he will come before God. Haven't you seen Victor? Today, now, Victor lied. He even changed figures. And you are still blessing him like this. What is it? Does the Lord not say? And Jesus shows up, but I took it away on the cross. I nailed it to the cross. You cannot condemn him. He took away the law with all of his ordinances. Hallelujah. So this is the believer. And this is Satan. Although he has been disarmed, a toothless bulldog that is still barking. He has been disarmed, but he still comes to you and tries to use both face. Say both face. Tries to use both face. And because you don't know who you are in Christ, you don't know what Christ has done, you're still chicken out. You are still afraid of him. A disarmed fellow. Is that not what put it up for me? Colossians chapter 2 verse 15. Having disarmed principalities and powers. So if this guy has been disarmed, he comes to me to steal my stuff, I'm not going to let him do that. Should I talk about this guy a little? Because somehow he has the authority now. My God. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. Behold, all power in heaven and on earth has been given unto me. Right? Luke chapter 10, verse 19. Behold, I give unto you that power. What is there? No power. It's exousia, authority. All authority. Can we look at that, Brother Victor? Let's look at that. Matthew 28, verse 18. This guy was disarmed, and this guy was armed. Who's supposed to rob each other? But have you seen people that you are even bigger than? You know, say if not for fight, you go beat them. But yet, they are just opening eye for you. Have you seen people like that? You know you can, I mean, compare the two of us. Even if it's in a fight, now, go just beat you. But the person is the one shouting. He's the one raising his voice. He's the one opening eye. He's the one even saying, cross this line, you know the fear. And then because he said, cross this line, you know the fear, you became afraid. Say, the way this person, they talk like this, I know they cross. Meanwhile, they're supposed to be the one giving him lines to cross. Satan, if you say no, the fear, pass here, then I mess you up. Because right now, you have been armed. You have been equipped. Look at this. And Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all what? All authority, exousia, has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Luke chapter 10 verse 19. You will think that he went to heaven with this. You will think that he went to heaven, he ascended to heaven with this authority. No. You don't exercise authority in heaven. Right now, there are no enemies there. Hello? Is anybody sick in heaven? Is anybody oppressed in heaven? Is there any dead body in heaven? Are you hearing me? Does God need power in heaven? Does God need authority in heaven? Does God have to prove anything to anybody? So Jesus didn't need it where he's going. So he says, I'm going to give it to you. They negated authority. Oh, don't forget what was given to him was all authority, not some of it. My God. Behold, I give you the what? Come on, church, the what? What was given to him, he gave to us. Are you here? So Christ received all authority in heaven and on earth on the cross. Then when he rose from the dead, he looked at you and said, all that authority, I have given it to you. Authority to do what? To trample on serpents and scorpions and over every power of what? Read this one for me. Shout it loud. Enemy. Say enemy. Did he say enemies? Did he say enemies? Because you think you have enemies. You don't have enemies. You just have an enemy. This enemy is the one using other people you think they are your enemies. If you know what is happening, you will just face this fellow and leave others alone. Even that witch in your village that you are praying that she should die, she's not your enemy. She's being used. This is the enemy. Over every power of you, and notice that by what? Fred, imagine that you understand this. Imagine you move in the consciousness of this scripture. That this thing is, you know, written in your heart. You know it, that nothing shall by any means of me. You know it, I have been given authority. You know it. Not mental assent, not that you heard your pastor preaching it. It came to you by revelation. That all authority, the authority that Jesus received on the cross when he died, he gave to me. He didn't go to heaven with it. I have authority. And not just some authority, I have all. Imagine you know this. Imagine that you know this. You understand this. And you move around in the consciousness of this. And then this guy, though he has been disarmed, he still wants to intimidate you. He says we should not be ignorant of the devices of the devil, lest Satan should take advantage of us. Your ignorance is Satan's advantage. Satan, right on your ignorance, take advantage of the fact that you do not know who you are in Christ, what you have in Christ, and what you can do in Christ. And he continues to mess you up, and you keep running from one mountain to another, from one prayer house to another, from one battle church to another, from one prophet to one apostle, looking for somebody to lay hand on you or give you oil or give you hanky. Are you hearing me? You even say this one, they don't. You are looking for where they will give you Ribena and biscuit. You know what Ribena and biscuit is? Do you know what Ribena and biscuit is? If you know, you know. And if you don't know, leave it. So people like Ribena and biscuit. So imagine you know this, my God. Imagine you know this. And bring it down. And Satan comes to you and tries to steal your health. Huh? Okay, come and collect the health now. Stand, fear not. Charge at him. You know my problem with wisdom? He's too fine. And I don't know. Is this my friend? Be aggressive. You are the devil here. How will you give him? I said, imagine you know this. I don't want to tell you the response. I want to see your response. Are you hearing me? Imagine you know this and Satan tried to steal your health. How are you going to respond? I am the one with the gun. I am the one with the knife. You are the one trying to steal my phone. Your head will go for it. Huh? You are charging at me. Give me that laptop. But I'm holding gun. I'm holding cutlass. You are saying, give me that phone. And I'm saying now, please now, bros. You know, saying that my daily phone, why I get this? I beg now. I beg. I just give you 1,000. Maybe just I beg. Just see, just hold. It doesn't matter the phone I want, give me. But there is gun in your pocket. There is cutlass on this side. And you are saying, bros, now I beg. If I give you this phone, wait till I come to use do my assignment. Now wait till I come to use. I beg now. Just okay, ma, give you this my smaller phone. I say, give me your phone. You won't make I wound you. And you are begging him. Or you bring out the gun from your pocket and say, do you know who you are talking to? Do you know who you are talking to? Do you know who you are talking to? By the time the guy sees the gun, he starts begging you. You just showed him the gun. You know who you they talk to, so. It be like say you don't know who you they yarn with. Bros, you know who you they talk to. The guy say, bros, no be so. No be so. I've been just playing. You now, my man. Bros. As they talk, bros. Don't be like that. My guy. He's moving. But see what many Christians do. Though they have the authority, though they have the power, though Satan has been disarmed and powerless, Satan comes to them and charges at them, backs at them. They are afraid. They are shaking. They say, I don't know now. I don't know. All these people from my village. They have come again. It's like they've gone to that Babalawo again. Hey, prophet, help me. Prophet, go deeper. Prophet, they need and they are going on the floor. Satan is somewhere laughing. Laugh. He said, this person is a fool. She doesn't even know what she has. Oh, fool and slow of heart. Are you hearing me? This message is not to stir you up. I didn't come here to excite you. Because when we talk about manifestation, people want to be excited. God forbid. I want you to live here grounded. Anywhere you see Satan, you will mess him up. Are you hearing me? I told them when we were praying the other day, if you don't have understanding, the prayer can stir up the manifestation, but it will be accidental discharge. Are you hearing me? You can pray yourself so high. So high, you lay hand on somebody with ulcer, and the ulcer is healed. But after that, you can't reproduce that result. Any day you have not prayed yourself high like that, any day maybe you have not prayed for some like 2 days or 3 days, you cannot produce that result again. Because when you lay your hand on another ulcer patient, you feel like there's no power in this my prayer. You feel like I never prayed for 3 days now. Waiting, you wait. Satan will not tell you. See you. You won't pray for person. You never even pray for the last 3 days. Last 3 days, you never even read your Bible. And you won't pray. We even need to help your life. You just say, brother, it's well. Yeah? Don't worry, you'll be fine. And that's how you avoided that healing. Because you only manifest it when you pray. Yes, prayer can stir it up. You can make tremendous power available to be accidental discharge. Understanding makes you reproduce the result again and again and again and again and again. Even when they tap you up from sleep like this, you will reproduce the same result. Are you hearing me? When you have understanding, you will produce the same result again and again and again. Even in your most carnal moments, you will produce the result again and again. Because you are operating by revelation, by understanding, not by some goosebumps you felt. When you pray, you felt, you say, hey, power of God is here. The power of God is here. The power of God is here. And you just laid your hand on the person, something happened. The day where your hand don't go to shake like this, you go. Huh? Your hand is not vibrating like this. In fact, you even laid hand and it felt dry. Huh? You laid hand on the person, you are saying, Father, in Jesus' name, this and that. You are feeling dry. He said, this prayer while they pray, so you go walk. But the man who understands the righteousness status that we have in Christ, every time you lay hand on the sick, you are 100% sure that he will be healed. You are not guessing whether he will be healed. You know that the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much. I will not even stay here saying, come on, giving myself. No. It's not in the velocity of my prayer. It's not in the gymnastic I did. It's not in the length of the prayer. The prayer is answered on the grounds of righteousness. God hears me. Hey, Gaba, I thank you because I know you always hear me. And God, there's no time you will not hear me. Do we have problem? Are we quarreling? Are you angry with me? We are in good terms. Since we have peace with God. I mean, if I have peace with him, will he not hear me? Will he not grant me my petition? Say, I thank you because you always hear me. It's not a guesswork. So, Fred, imagine you know this thing. Imagine that you know what we're sharing now. And Satan tries to steal your joy. Tries to steal your peace. Tries to steal your health. Tries to condemn you again. Tries to make you feel guilty for sin. Huh? Are you hearing me? Try to condemn you by the law. Tell him, bros. That way you know I know him. And by the way, I also know that you have been disarmed. This is the key you need to mess the devil up. Are you hearing me? Any believer who understands this will mess the devil up any day, anytime. Monday, are you hearing what I'm saying? Because a lot of prayer warriors are just backing and praying. They don't know anything. Just pray. As the person is praying, if one bird fly and pass, they have come. They have come to monitor the spirits. Maybe the bird perched somewhere there. They say, that is it. They have come to monitor our prayers. They've come to hear what we are praying so that they will go and avert it. They will start praying. Everybody face this side. Holy Ghost and fire! They will start praying. Releasing Holy Ghost fire again. As they are praying out of fear. If the bird starts flying in their direction, everybody will take cover. Can we preach here? Can we preach? Am I lying? We are prayer warriors, but we lack knowledge of the word. Satan humbles us, messes you up. You dream, you say you are having nightmare. I can't remember when last I have nightmare. It's either I dream, I sleep and I dream, or I don't dream. I can even wake up and forget the dream. So what? Who did the dream help? If I wake up and I don't remember, I don't even kill myself. I know it's not important. It's important as I'm waking up from that dream, from that sleep, I'll remember. Even after 3 days, I can still recall the dream. But you see masquerade pursuing you in your dream. Hey! You pursue me in my dream. I will just turn back. Pursue you like this. You know who you dey pursue. Satan has been disarmed. Men and brethren, Satan has been disarmed. His two weapons were the law and sin. But now on the cross, Christ took away the law and took away sin. And gave the believer authority over Satan. Righteousness is your authority over Satan. Because, Yada, if my sins have been forgiven, then Satan has no power over me. The only right he had over my life was sin. But now Christ has forgiven my sins. What right does he have over me again? Does he have power over me? On the grounds of righteousness, you can live above the Satan. Above Satan. On the grounds of righteousness, you can pray for the sick and get them to recover. Hello? Are you with me? So say with me, I believe that Christ died for my sins. I believe that he was buried. I believe that God raised him on the third day. And I confess that Jesus is Lord. Therefore, my sins are forgiven me. I am the righteousness of God. Thank you, wisdom. Thank you, Fred. Did you get me to this point? I have not gotten to the spirit. It took me all this time to emphasize the gospel.